If you have your Bible this morning, please turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 44. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 44. We are, as you noticed by now, we are not studying in the book of Acts today, but we are sticking with the author, as Brother Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And the reason for that is today is widely celebrated as what we call Ascension Sunday. Now, what does that mean? Well, the actual Ascension Day was on Thursday, May the 18th. Why is it that Ascension Day was on a Thursday? Because it occurs 40 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the closest Sunday to that. And so I want to take some time today for us to acknowledge and look into the ascension of our Lord. I believe that the ascension of Jesus Christ is every bit as important as his incarnation, as his crucifixion, and as his resurrection. Amen? And if you'll stand with me, we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. Beginning at verse number 44. If you found your place there, please say amen. Amen. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise, rather, of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen and amen. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we are so grateful to be here today where we can carry on this most blessed work, Father, of opening your word and opening the scriptures this morning. And Father, we pray just as you did for your disciples, Lord God, that you would open our understanding, that we might also understand the scriptures. And Father, that we would leave this place today with our joy being full, our faith being in you, and continually praising and blessing God. We ask you to do this for us today, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. And they all said together, amen. Amen. You can be seated, folks. I believe, as I said, that the ascension of Christ is every bit as important as his incarnation, his coming to the earth as a child born of a virgin in the manger. It was every bit as important as his crucifixion, as he gave his life on the cross to pay the sacrifice for our sins. It's every bit as important as the resurrection, as Jesus Christ rose again with in great victory over death and over our sin. And I want you to know, friends, that his ascension was prophesied in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 68 and verse 18, the Bible says that thou has ascended on high, written by King David I believe 1,000 years it was that David lived, rather, before Jesus Christ ever came to the earth. Not only was it prophesied in the Old Testament, but it was also predicted by the Lord Jesus. Jesus said himself while he was alive here in John chapter number 7 and verse 33, that yet a little while I am with you, and then I go to him that sent me. Jesus said, right now I'm with you, I will be with you a little while longer, but there is a time coming when I'm going back to him that sent me. Jesus was speaking of his ascension, that he would ascend back to the Father. And not only was it prophesied in the Old Testament and predicted by the Lord Jesus, but it was also proven in the experience of believers. We know that Stephen, as he gave his testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and he was stoned, the windows of heaven were opened to him, and he saw what? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Not only did Stephen see the Lord there, but we know that Peter was given a vision of the Lord there in heaven, and also the Apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his ascension is not something that we were not given. But friends, I believe that many people overlook the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And overlooking the ascension is sort of like reading an important book and skipping the last chapter. Amen? And so I want for us together to read that part of the story together today. Amen? And we have here in the Gospel of Luke. I want you to know that the ascension is also mentioned in Mark chapter number 16. As far as the accounts given. Now, it's as I said, it's mentioned in more than one place in the Bible because it was prophesied and spoken of by Jesus himself. But you'll find the gospel accounts at the end of Mark chapter 16, the end of Matthew, the end of Luke 24, which we read together here this morning, and then also in Acts chapter number 1. At his ascension, I want us to understand the action of our Lord. And what we see, first of all, is his shepherding. If you go back to the verses that we read at verse 44, he said to them, "These are the words which I spake to you." Jesus is telling them, "This is what I've been talking to you about. These are the words that I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus is telling them that the word of God has been telling you for a great while that these things were going to happen, that the Son of Man was going to come, he was going to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified, but that after 3 days he would rise again and bless the name of God. After he rose again, he would spend 40 days on the earth and then ascend back to his Father. And so Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand these things. And he says in verse 46, "Thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Why? "So that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." Jesus is giving them an explanation. This is what you have been hearing. This is what you have been experiencing these 3 years as they were gathered together in ministry. But then he also gives them instruction in verse 49, because he tells them that, "I want you to wait for the promise of my Father. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry you there in Jerusalem until you be endued from power, which will come from on high." And friends, I would say this morning, how gracious of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection not to leave immediately. Can you imagine how different things would be if Jesus had resurrected and went straight to heaven? Everybody would be wondering, well, where is he at? He's not here, but where is he? Could you imagine, dear friend, that people like Peter, who struggled with his failures and all those things, had Jesus not came to him after his resurrection and said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Could you imagine Thomas, who had doubt that he was doubting that Jesus Christ was able to rise again? And although the other disciples said to him, "We've seen Jesus alive," Thomas said, "I will not believe what? Unless I see him, unless I put my fingers into the wounds in his hands and reach my hand into the wound in his side." How gracious of the Lord Jesus to come to Thomas in his doubt and prove to him that he rose again. Jesus didn't just appear to Peter and to Thomas. As a matter of fact, the book of 1 Corinthians tells us that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. How gracious of our Lord to remain here on the earth for those 40 days and to prove that he is who he said he is. And we don't have to wonder about the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he proved it by staying here. Amen. How gracious of him to do that. But also, the other thing that was important about those 40 days is that Jesus continued to shepherd his disciples during that time. And we see him here in this passage. He's still leading them. He's still teaching them. He's still dealing with them. And the Bible tells us that he led them out. We understand that he led them out from something, from some place. At that time, I believe that they were there in Jerusalem, and he led them out of that place. But I believe that he didn't just lead them out from something, but that he led them away to someone. And that someone was himself. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ will oftentimes grab us by the hand and lead us out of the place that we are and bring us to the place that he is, so that we might see his majesty and his glory? Amen. I'm glad that we have a Savior that loves us so. I'm glad that we have a Savior that you've heard me say many times, that he loves us just the way that we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. I'm glad that we have a Savior that oftentimes will allow us to see his glory and to see the work that he is doing, that he continues. Friend, the gift of faith is an ongoing gift. It's the gift that keeps on going. I'm glad that Jesus Christ gave me the gift of faith, that he's opened my heart to understand and to believe in him. But he continues to strengthen my faith by the fact that he comes to me and allows me to be in circumstances and in places where I can see him work and see him moving. Amen? How gracious of our Lord to do these things. And it is our ascended Lord that now leads us through his Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus said in John 14 that I must go, but I will send another in my place. The promise of the Father that he spoke of here in Luke 24 was none other than the Holy Spirit of God, the Paraclete, the Helper, that comes and leads us through our life and helps us in our faith and in our trust of him. It's the Holy Spirit of God, by the way. That's why I pray nearly every time that we are gathered together that the Holy Spirit would open our understanding, because I have no power to open your understanding. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do that. But I'm grateful that he will if we ask him to and trust him to. We see Jesus as shepherding. But then, dear friends, we see his ascending, because after this explanation and after this instruction, then there's really a culmination of things. And that begins in verse 50 when it says that he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, there's a few things about his ascension that we need to make sure that we catch here today. And first of all is the time. As I mentioned already, the time of his ascension was 40 days after he was resurrected. It was not a day less than that. It was not a day more than that. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I understand that the number 40 has significance in the scriptures. We know that... And by the way, the account, you might be looking at this Gospel of Luke saying, Pastor, where does it say that he was on the earth 40 days? Well, you have to look in the book of Acts for that. Chapter number 1, if you want to turn there, I'm going to share just a couple of verses from there. But in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that the former treatise or the former letter have I made, O Theophilus, this is Luke writing to this Theophilus, all of that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. He's talking about his ascension. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So there was a definite time that Jesus was on the earth before he was ascended. And I know oftentimes that the number 40 is a sign of purification. And also a sign of preparation in the Bible. We know that there was 40 days of rain as the earth was flooded and being judgment was coming upon the earth and being cleansed of the sin that was on the earth. We know that 40 was the number of days that a woman was to be cleansed during her time of purification. We know that it was 40 years that Israel was in the wilderness as they were following the Lord out of Egypt. And because of their unbelief, they were in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. But we know also that Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness when he was being tempted of Satan and prepared for his ministry. So that's the time that we see. There in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we also see the taking. It says that when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was standing there on the earth with them the moment before this, the Bible says that he was taken up. He began to rise up, and this cloud received them out of their sight. Again, I don't want to spend much time on this today, but if you want to be part of the honors program this morning, do a little bit of homework on the involvement of clouds in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, going back to his transfiguration. And as a matter of fact, I would take it even further. I'd go all the way back into Exodus while they were there at Mount Sinai with the Lord. However, besides this time and this taking, there's also a theme that I want you to see. And you have to look a little bit harder to see this because the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke that the Lord led them out as far as Bethany. Where exactly was Bethany? Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. I believe the Bible gives the account that it was about 15 furlongs. And for those of you who are well-trained in the length of horse tracks and things of that nature, that's about 2 miles. But there's something more significant about Bethany than just the fact that it was 2 miles from Jerusalem. It also happened to be the location of the Mount of Olives. And it was from the Mount of Olives that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended there on that great morning. And again, if you'll take the time to do a little bit of homework, I would encourage you, dear friend, to read in the book of Ezekiel and also in the book of Zechariah, I believe it is. Ezekiel talks about the departing of the glory of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had been in the temple there in Jerusalem. And because of the sin of Israel, the glory had departed. God had warned them through prophets for many, many centuries, and they did not listen. And so the glory departed. And the glory departed in a very specific way as it crossed out over the threshold and then went to the east and left from the Mount of Olives. It left from that place. And what the Bible very clearly says to us is that when Christ comes at his second coming, he is going to come in that same way. The glory will come down from heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will come from the east. He will enter back into the temple, and the glory will once again be in the holy temple, never to depart evermore. It sounds a whole lot like what they said here in the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse 10. When they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." Amen? Amen. Hey, listen. I want you to know that we live in a place today where we can see oftentimes the glory of God if we're looking for it. But the glory of God is not widely seen in this place. Why? Because right now this place is under the power of the prince of the power of the air, right? We know that Satan and his demons are reigning here in the earth right now, but I'm telling you, there is coming a day when the glory of God will light this place. I was talking with somebody recently. I can't remember exactly what we were saying, but they said something about heaven going to this place, and they said something about light being there. And I said, friend, there won't be any artificial light in heaven. We'll have supernatural light. Amen. A light that comes from the glory of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, that will never, ever go out. A place where there's no night, a place where there's no fear, where there's no worry, where there's no danger, And I'll add to that a place where there's no sin. Can you imagine that? Right now, we have to constantly ask for forgiveness of our sin. Why? Because we constantly sin. But there's coming a day when we will no longer have to ask forgiveness of our sin. Praise God, when He will cleanse us and put those things away from us. But right now, Jesus has been taken up into heaven. And they're told that there, as we just read in verses 10 and 11. And I also want you to understand, dear friends, that not only was Jesus taken from someplace, but He had to go somewhere, didn't He? And the Bible tells us very clearly that that place is heaven. And listen, I want to encourage you today, if you're here today and you would say, boy, this sounds like a pretty tall tale that you're telling here this morning. Friends, I want to encourage you not to struggle with the supernatural, because if you struggle with the supernatural, you're not having faith in God. I've had people tell me before that they believe in the Lord, they believe in the Bible, but they really have a hard time believing things like, you know, the account of Jonah in the whale, or the fiery furnace, or some of these things. And I'm not saying this to condemn you today. I'm saying this to encourage you today to believe in a God of the supernatural. Listen, friends, if He's not supernatural, then He's not able to help us. If Jesus Christ didn't get up and walk out of that grave and ascend unto heaven, then He's not able to help us today. Do you understand why this is so important? The title of the message today, by the way, I don't oftentimes announce them, but the title of today's message is The Import of His Export. His export being His ascension, His leaving of this earth. Why is it so important? Because it has such a powerful effect on our lives here today. And we're going to see that now in our next point, which is His blessing. Looking back at Luke chapter number 24, the Bible says that He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. I said already how gracious it was of our Lord to stay here and to manifest Himself and to continue leading and shepherding His people those 40 days on the earth, but how gracious of Him to bless us before He went. Amen? And His blessing, Jesus, I believe this is a picture of the Old Testament priest. We understand that the Old Testament priests would, after on the Day of Atonement, that they would, the lamb, after the lamb was slain and after the blood was brought to the altar and after the atonement was made, the Bible says that the high priest would lift his hands and he would bless the people. After all of those other things were completed, this is why Jesus didn't lift his hand and bless the people before He died on the cross. Amen? Because the lamb had to be slain, the blood had to be brought, the atonement had to be made, and that because the blessing comes through the atonement. Amen? Do you understand that? That there's no blessing for you and I outside of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no amount of good deeds and self-help, and there's no amount of feeling good and all these other things that are propagated in the earth today aside from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you what, when Jesus Christ has been received in faith through the opening of your heart by the Holy Spirit of God, the blessings are innumerable. Amen? Amen. We've got a hope that goes beyond the grave. And we have blessings that are out of this world, literally. And a verse for that is Leviticus chapter number 9 for the blessing of the high priest. The Bible says in Leviticus 9:22, that Aaron, who was the first high priest, lifted up his hand toward the people and he blessed them. Did Jesus use what we call the Aaronic blessing? I don't know. Did Jesus say to them, "The Lord bless you"? The Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. I'm not sure what He said, but what I do know is that the Lord Jesus Christ gave them His blessing before He left. And what we see is an ascended Lord blessing a believing people. Amen? An ascended Lord blessing a believing people. And that's what we need to be today, are believing people. Now, I'd like to look a little bit closer at what some of these blessings are. And really, this is how his export is so important to us, and what it is, I guess you might say, what is it exactly that Jesus Christ is doing now? He came to the earth. He was born of a virgin. He died on a cross. He rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he walked on the earth, and he taught his disciples and revealed himself for 40 days. And he ascended to the Father. And since that day, he has been playing golf and shooting tiddlywinks. No. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is just as busy as he's ever been. And I want you to know that what he's busy in doing is in blessing his people. And so, a couple things that I want you to understand about Jesus in his present state. One of those is that Jesus Christ is performing his priestly duties. He is still, as our great high priest, as it says in the book of Hebrews, he is still performing his priestly duties. A verse for that is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Listen to me. You might recall we talked about a sign here out in front of the church, and people said, Pastor, we're going to do a sign, and we want you to have your name on it. And I said, I don't want my name on that sign. And you know why I don't want my name on that sign? Because preachers come and go, but our high priest will be here forever. Amen. He is a priest forever, a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Not only is he performing his priestly duties, but also we know that Jesus Christ is preparing a place. What did he say there in John chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Jesus is preparing a place for us. One of the most blessed thoughts to me in all of the world is that God the Father, I believe in a literal 6 days of creation. Why? Because the Bible says that. God spoke and the earth appeared. God spoke and the sun and the moon were there to give their light. And God spoke and man was created. I believe in 6 days, all of this earth and everything that he put in it was made in a literal 6 days. And then I think, dear friends, about the Lord Jesus Christ, who 2,000 years ago said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this is what he can do in 6 days, what's the place look like he's been working on for 2,000 years? Amen? And not only did Jesus didn't just say, I'm going to prepare a place. It's nice that he's preparing a place, but it's of no help to us unless we can go there also. But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, I will, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's performing his priestly duties. He's preparing a place. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing gifts out to his people. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, beginning at verse 7 says, but unto every one of us, and who's Paul writing to? He's writing to the church in Ephesus. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God, when he saves us, the first gift that we all receive is the gift of salvation. We all receive the gift of eternal life. We all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us to live and to know him and to live in accordance to his word and his will and to understand his scriptures. But dear friend, he also has given all of us spiritual gifts. And some of us he's given one gift to, others he's given more than one gift to. But every one of us have a spiritual gift. Please understand that today. Don't ever say, if you're a child of God, that I don't have a spiritual gift. Because I would say the converse of that. If you don't have a spiritual gift, you are not a child of God. Because God gives all of his children spiritual gifts. And it's our job to search these things out, to pray about them, and to ask God to reveal to us what those gifts may be. But the reason he has given us a gift is because he has a job for all of us to do. Amen. And we are to use those gifts for the edifying of the people and for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. Amen? So Jesus is passing gifts today. And then also, we know from the book of Hebrews that he's also promoting encouragement. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, this great high priest that has left the earth, he has ascended into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's a great encouragement to me today to know that my Savior, my Lord and Savior, is there at the right hand of God, and he is there in heaven. We're not worshiping somebody who asked for worship and then lies in a tomb somewhere, Brother Gary. He is alive and well today and at the right hand of God, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Do not forget that part. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what the writer of Hebrews has said here is that Jesus Christ has experienced the same things that you have and that I have. And he understands that we, in our flesh, he understands the troubles that we go through. He understands the temptations that come along. And if we are willing to come his way through his blood to the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, by the Holy Spirit, then we can come to a throne of grace where we are able to find help in time of need. Amen? And I don't know about you, but that is important to me, and it's an encouragement to me. You know why? Because most of the time I don't feel worthy to go to that place. And because I don't feel worthy to go to that place, then it's hard for me sometimes to understand that there's help there for me to find in time of need. But friend, our right to come before the throne of God is not based on our works. If you don't feel worthy to go before the throne today, that's right. None of us are worthy to go before the throne. That's why Jesus Christ went to the throne. Amen? And through and by him, we can go before God our Father. At the incarnation, Jesus took on humanity without losing his glory. We talked about that here on Wednesday night. We studied the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Long before Jesus was crucified or ascended back to heaven, Jesus ascended the mountain with James and Peter and John, and they were gathered there, and they saw his glory as the robe of his humanity was pulled back there that morning. Jesus took on humanity without losing his glory. But at the ascension, dear friend, Jesus Christ was glorified without losing his humanity. Stop and think about that just for one moment. That yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, Jesus Christ is in heaven, ascended at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, he is holy and all of those things, but Jesus Christ is still human. And which means that Jesus Christ, the verse we just read from Hebrews, that he has been touched with our infirmities, I don't believe he's forgotten. Do you? We have a high priest that understands and welcomes us to come into his presence for help today. Bless his name. Also, one of the blessings is that Jesus Christ is there praying for his people. We know that he fulfills this role in a couple of different ways. One of them is as an intercessor. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans in chapter number 8 and verse 34 that it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again at the right hand of God, or ascended, who also maketh intercession for us. As a matter of fact, the Bible also says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Doesn't it bless your heart to know that you are on the Lord Jesus' prayer list? And that when we're struggling, and I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I certainly have. I've had those moments come into my life when it's just difficult to pray. And I've had times when it's been especially difficult for me to pray for myself. And what the Bible teaches us is that when, not just in that moment, but especially in those moments, it tells us in this same chapter in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, that when we can't get our prayers out, or when we don't know what to pray, that the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Jesus Christ is there at the right hand of God, and He is praying for you and for me. What a blessing that is. Amen. Not only is He there as our intercessor, but we also know that Jesus is there as our advocate. It tells us in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 1, that, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." The goal is that we don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And so when we do trip and stumble along the way, Jesus Christ will, I believe that He looks at the Father and says, "Father, that's My precious blood on him. And I plead My blood for that child of Mine." And so Jesus is praying for His people. We also know that Jesus Christ is producing a church. He told the Apostle Peter in Matthew chapter 16, and verse number 18, that, "I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Yes, Jesus said that before He ascended. But here we sit 2,000 years later, part of the church, don't we? Jesus Christ is still building His church. That is an ongoing process. Jesus Christ is building His church. And I also want you to know that Jesus is presiding over the earth. We're told in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 16, that, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." You know what that word "consist" means? It means placed together, put together, and kept together. Amen? Amen. You know, if Jesus Christ, which this is not possible, but if Jesus Christ ceased to exist, this whole planet that we're on would fall apart just like that, because Jesus is the one keeping it together. By Him, all things consist. And I want you to notice just in that verse, this just caught my eye, that His dominion is over thrones and dominions and principalities and powers and all things. Aren't those the same things that we're told in the book of Ephesians that we fight against? That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? Guess what? They're under His dominion. We don't have to be concerned today about the missiles in North Korea. We don't have to be concerned today about the Democratic Party, although they're very concerning, I'll say that. We don't have to be concerned today about what's going to happen to us tomorrow. It's under His control. Jesus Christ is on His throne. Amen? Jesus, I was talking with somebody here recently. They said they went to a restaurant to eat, and they got there, and the people came out of the restaurant and said, "We're the only ones working. We're on break." And they left. There's never a time when you come to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ and He says, "Out of service." Jesus Christ is always on His throne. Amen. And there may be some circumstances that come in your life that make you wonder sometimes, but I'm telling you what, you trust in the Lord Jesus. All things are under His throne, under His dominion, and under His power. Amen? And I trust Him. In this blessing, in short, what Jesus did was He extended His favor. He extended His favor to those people that will trust Him and believe in Him. He blessed, even while He was ascending, before He left, He blessed His people. And I want you to notice, after He blessed them, what are the very next words? What's it say in verse 51? Come on, it's okay, you can use your inside voice. What's it say? "And it came to pass He blessed them and it came to pass. He blessed them and it came to pass. Amen. Jesus Christ blessed them and it came to pass. He has given us His favor. He's given us His blessing, and we can trust in Him, dear friend. And this is why, unless Christ, that somebody said this, that unless Christ had ascended into heaven, His nativity would have come to nothing. His passion would have borne no fruit for us, and His most holy resurrection would have been useless. But now, our suffering and our resurrected Christ is ascended at the right hand of the Father, where He sits and still blesses His people. Amen? Yes. And so lastly, we see His leaving. It says there that while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. We know that He was carried up from some place. I already mentioned from Mount Olives. We know that He was carried up to some place. The Bible tells us it was to heaven or up to His Father's house. Actually, if you go back and read the account in Mark chapter 16, it says that He ascended to sit at the right hand of God. And I want you to know that the ascension is the exclamation point on Christ's earthly ministry. Amen? Yes. I don't know who said this, but it says, no one has ever ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven. Listen to what I just said. Don't pass over that. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven. Why is that important? Because there's a whole lot of people that think that they're going to ascend to heaven some other way than through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, there is no other way. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. If any man tries to come in the back door, the same is a thief and a robber. No one has ever ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And the Bible promises us that as He went, so shall He come. Jesus Christ is coming again, folks. He is coming again, and I believe that He is coming soon. The reaction that His disciples had at all of this, first of all, we know that they waited because He told them to. He said, you're going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to tarry you there until you receive the promise of My Father. Being the Holy Spirit, you'll be endued with power on high. So they waited. We also know that they worshiped. Verse 52, they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The truth of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to cause us to return with great joy and to worship Him. Amen? Because He is the Son of God. The Son of Man is the Son of God, and He has ascended to heaven. He is there at the right hand of God, and you can believe every word that He has said and every promise that He has given. Amen? Amen. And then they also witnessed, because it says in verse 53 that they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Mark's account actually says that they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The import of Christ's export. Well, first of all those things that we talked about, His praying and His presiding over the earth and His high priestly duties. This is His care for us. Why is it important that Christ ascended? Because He is at the right hand of the Father and He's caring for you and for me. Why else is it important? Well, also because our great high priest is there. And He's filling all of these roles. I don't have to be concerned on the earth today because I know that Jesus is in heaven now. Amen? And also, because Jesus is there, then one day we shall be there too. Amen? Through faith. Jesus was born, He died, He was resurrected, and He ascended to heaven. And by faith, and by His precious blood, then we can experience all those things as well. Amen? Listen, dear friend, don't overlook the ascension. A lot of religions and religious people have come to this earth and they have claimed a lot of things. And the proof of that is there are people all over the world worshiping false idols today and false religions. But there's only one who stood up and walked out of the grave after he paid a price that he didn't know. Proved that he was alive for 40 days as he was seen by probably more than 1,000 people on the face of the earth. And there's only one that ascended to the right hand of the Father. And there's only one there that's praying for you right now. Amen.